Fred Film Radio, Edinburgh International Film Festival, Scotland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the Edinburgh International Film Festival 2014, and I'm joined by filmmaker Orlando von Einsiedel and producer Joanna Natsagara and Melanie Gooby, who actually is in plays a key central role in the documentary, which we'll be discussing in this interview. And they're here with the film Virunga. So thank you very much, guys, for joining us.
Thanks for speaking with us.
So let's introduce the documentary and let's talk about the subject of which it deals with.
So Virunga is the story of four very brave individuals battling to protect the Virunga National Park, Africa's oldest national park and also home to the last of the world's mountain gorillas. And they're battling to protect it against a new civil war and a British company which is illegally exploring for oil.
Well, I mean, first of all, the thing that strikes me the most about this film is that it sounds extremely dangerous to film. So, I mean, there must have been plenty of dangers during the production of it, side of things.
Sure. I mean, you know, it was, frankly, there was moments that were terrifying. But for us as filmmakers, but as foreigners, we could always leave, you know, when we near enough when we wanted to. And the rangers of Virunga National Park, they every day they get up, they go out, they risk their lives to protect the park. Over 140 of them have died in the last 15 years, and every day they do that because they know the potential that this park has to transform Eastern Congo for the better. So whenever we got scared, you know, we looked at them for inspiration and drew courage from that.
I'm very curious about this. How did you come across the subject in the first place, and what made you want to film it?
I was interested in trying to tell a more positive and optimistic story from Eastern Congo, because there are different narratives from the region, and most of what comes out tends to be negative stories. And one day I came across the story of the inspiring rangers of the Virunga National Park, and to cut a long story short, I ended up going out there and I started filming with them. You know, I was following their work, trying to protect the gorillas, and also their work driving forward really ambitious development projects to try and bring sustainable jobs and tourism back to the region. And I'd only been on the ground a couple of weeks when this new war started, and I learned about the park's own concerns about illegal oil exploration. And so the story shifted quite a lot from what I initially set out to do.
And Melanie, you play a central... You actually have a very central role in this whole story, but would you like to tell our listeners exactly what you do?
Well, I'm a journalist, and I've been living in Congo for about 3 years. When Orlando started filming his movie, we met a little while after. I was already on the ground in Congo for like about a year, and I'd met people working for an oil company called Soko International. We were preparing to explore for oil in the Virunga National Park. And so I had been already interested since a while to do a story about that, because when I first moved to Congo, the park was starting to open again for tourism. And so I went to see the gorillas and met Emmanuel de Merode, the park director, and was very impressed with the work that the rangers do. And so, an oil company exploring in this park, which is really, really beautiful, but also is one of the very few institution and organization that works well in Congo and that brings hope to people, because it can create a lot of job for the local population and create development. So that was very shocking, and I wanted to investigate what that organization, the oil company, was doing. And so we teamed up with Orlando to investigate on Soko International. And so that's why during the film I investigate.
Investigative reporting, yeah. But still, I mean, I'm wondering, and I'd like to ask the producer of the film herself, this contrast between the cinematic values of the story and the environmental issues that are very heavy. There's so many stories like these, but how easy or how difficult is it to actually get a project like this going?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good point that, you know, from the beginning, Orlando had really discovered what seemed like three or four stories, and there could have been three or four different films in this. Yeah. So it was really a job to kind of tie those together towards the end. But certainly Orlando, and with a significant amount of help from our editor Masahiro Hirakubo, really managed to turn the story into, we hope, what is, you know, a good narrative and a good film in its own right. Yeah. But with these, you know, with these central themes that are fleshed out in a way that have led to, you know, real media interest and real kind of news angle interest. You know, Melanie's work, the work of the law enforcement officers, the rangers on the ground, and then combined with the film team, have turned into something that we hope is pretty special.
And very cinematic as well. I mean, the multiple storylines are very, very exciting, make the film exciting as well as powerful. And it's this striking balance of cinema and real life that is absolutely amazing. And on that note, actually, I was just wondering, how do you find, usually in cinema, this balance being respected?
I mean, Matt, I this is the first environmental film I've made, actually. Yeah. I've mainly made films focusing on people. And actually, I don't really see this film as an environmental film. I see it as a film about people and hope and optimism. Mm.
And there's a striking, the reason why I said that is because there's a striking sequence in it very early on in the film, when the funeral of the gorillas after like a slaughter of these gorillas, and it's so human and so deeply human. And after we get like a backstory of Congo in itself, with all the history of violence that they experienced, the setting of Congo makes for such a powerful setting in itself. Did you find the atmosphere drove the power of the story in the way that you structured it?
Well, I think I was, as a filmmaker, I was blessed by just how beautiful Eastern Congo is. I mean, it's just part of the world that very few people have heard of in terms of its beauty, because the stories which come out are all about war. And violence and I mean, to be honest, I probably could have filmed the film on a mobile phone or a flip camera, and it still would have felt cinematic and beautiful. It is that stunning. But in terms of the power of the gorillas, and you know, they are treated like family by communities around the park. They're incredibly beautiful and special as creatures, but you know, people around the park also see them as representing a hopeful and bright future for the region. And so, you know, when in the film that nine of them are massacred, they do literally treat them like family members.
And I'm curious to find this out from both of you, actually, because on both of your lines of work, dealing with this subject, how open are people from all sides of the subject to actually talk about it and expose their stories?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people, in terms of the oil issue, people have been very willing to talk about it. Before I got involved, there'd been a lot of activity by local people living around the lake, by civil society groups, working on the oil story anyway. And we slotted in, and you know, they were only too willing to carry on that work. And in a small way, the film's given, it's sort of magnified their voices.
Yeah. Melanie, what about you?
Well, I mean, my work is mainly, you know, undercover things, so I guess, you know, people were open because they didn't necessarily expect, you know, to be, exposed afterwards. So I guess, you know, the thing about Eastern Congo is that there are a lot of that sort of thing that happen, and people talk actually quite openly about it, but there are very few people who take the time to go and, like, you know, record it and tell the story to the world. So I think that's what we've done.
Why do you think that is? Why isn't there like a wider exposure of these subjects?
I mean, I think what Orlando said about, you know, Eastern Congo being a classically stereotyped into, you know, categories of war, and you hear stories of sexual violence, all of which are very, very important. You rarely hear the stories of optimism. And so when Orlando, you know, sort of mentions he went out to find a positive story, well, he actually found it. You know, the stories of the Virunga National Park Rangers are very positive. Yeah. And you know, and Melanie's work was, as she says, you know, the people are very open. People in Eastern Congo are very open. Now, that, you know, the other people that she interviewed were obviously, you know, there's a public interest not only for Congo but for the rest of the world in finding out what oil companies and other extractive companies are doing in post-conflict situations, especially against the backdrop of such a positive story against a group of law enforcement officers that are in fact trying to, you know, re-establish the rule of law in a post-conflict situation. So I think that's what this story is about, and you know, really both Melanie and Orlando have managed to magnify that in a really beautiful way.
Completely, and I absolutely agree with you. It is heartwarming to see the relationship between the men and these guerrillas. It's absolutely heartwarming. So obviously you wanted to kind of show that and really reveal it for just how wonderful their relationship is. So how was that, witnessing that in first place?
Well, I mean, maybe I could talk about the guerrillas. They are... it's hard to describe just how incredible these creatures are. They are amazingly human-like, and actually when you first go and see them and you enter their world in the forest, it is, you know, it's cliche to say it, but it's fairly life-changing. And what you have in the park is you have rangers who've devoted their lives to spending time with these gorillas. I mean, the film focuses on one man in particular, Andre Baumer, and he looks after four orphan gorillas, and I mean, you know, there's very few people in the world who have that sort of affinity to any animals.
Spectacular.
And yeah, it's amazing, and it was always inspiring to work with Andre.
So, kind of to wrap this up, I'd love to know from all of you, kind of having made this film, and it's already made an impact wherever it has been shown. I've heard people say here that it's one of the best films I've seen this year. So I'd just love to know, like, what are your hopes? What do you hope to achieve with this film?
We're quite clear about what we hope for the film. We're really looking to address the illegal work by Serco International and to stop oil exploration in this beautiful place. We're also very keen to protect the park and to support its potential for peace and prosperity in the region forever, really. So anything that this film can do to raise the profile of Virunga National Park and to support it and to support the government to support it is would be wonderful for us.
I was just going to say, you know, I'd urge your viewers to go on our website. It's www.virungamovie.com. You can watch the trailer there. You can find out about screenings of the film around the world, and, you know, engage with the issues. Look at what SoCo's doing, and I think the reason it's important to do that, because this isn't just a park with amazing biodiversity in Eastern Congo. This isn't just a park which offers hope for people in Eastern Congo. This is also, it's a World Heritage Site, and only a very tiny percentage of the world's surface are protected by these unique places where we've set aside because they're so special. And if Virunga falls, if Africa's oldest national park falls in the face of business interests, you know, what is left on our planet that's sacred? And that's why it's relevant what happens here to everyone.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you very much for joining us at Fred Film Radio, and we wish you all the best with the film, and I hope that that people will actually get involved in this whole project, because it's a fascinating story, and it's definitely not only worth checking out the film but also finding out more about it afterwards. So thanks very much, guys.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.